Naja, warte mal. Und also ja, Lally explained one of the main reasons that you come to a Khanqah is to discipline your mind. It's the nature of the mind that it wants to run in all directions. You're sitting in namaz, your mind is going in all directions. Out of namaz again, your mind goes in different directions, it's wandering around. So that's the nature of the mind, it must run. But the kamal and the achievement is that how do we discipline this mind? How do we bring some system in this mind? Unfortunately, we consider the mind as a dumping ground. Anything and everything, and we just dump it into the mind and let the mind take its course. So that's not the work of the mind. If we think like this, then definitely we are mistaken. In the 2 rakat namaz, we need to observe and see how our minds are running away with us. And then, when we lose the discipline of the mind, and we allow the mind to think in the direction it wants, the entire body is subservient to the mind. There is a connection between the mind and the entire body. So if it's used to moving around radically, then there's going to be a radical behavior. But if there's going to be systematic, there's going to be a system in the mind, then there's going to be system in the behavior as well. This is why we come here, to learn some system, discipline in the mind. So if the mind has got some system, then you'll find that throughout, in all your work, whatever it is, there's going to be some system, there's going to be some reasoning, there's going to be some scruples in your life. You're going to follow those scruples, you're going to follow those principles, and you will find some system within you. Now, for example, we're performing namaz, right? Now, someone may ask, right, how do you create that system within us? How do we create an order? How do we create some type of refinement and some system in our thought? So the good way to start off is in namaz. And we'll have to drown our thought in a thing that the mind takes to, you see. There are some things that the mind doesn't want to take, doesn't want to go. And there are some things that you absorb the mind into, and the mind will want to go in that direction. Something, for example, that is attractive to the mind. Something that is frightening or something that is attractive, the mind wants to go in that direction. You hear of Jannat, Jahannam, etc., so the mind goes in that. Similarly, you hear of something that is fearful, death, etc., then your mind is going in that direction. So the easy way to get our minds disciplined and get some system is to absorb it in one of these two thoughts, either Jannat, Jahannam, something that is related to these two, death, Jannat, Jahannam, etc. You absorb it in this thought, then it goes in a certain system, it creates a direction, and there is some order in the mind. Now we're standing behind the imam, for example. Simple example, you're standing behind the imam and it's a namaz that is read aloud. Isha namaz, for example. The simple way to build and develop concentration there is just follow the wording of the imam. The mind will want to just move. It will just want to move. In a flash of a moment, it's moving to America, then it's coming to Mecca, then it's coming to Maputo, and then it's coming, going to Phoenix, everywhere. The mind just want to move, move, move. That's the mind. So now you absorb it in a thought. For example, you absorb it in the thought of, it's a namaz that is read loudly. So just that qiraat that the imam is reciting, just follow the wordings. If you can't get the translation, don't try for it. Because it takes time before your mind can go easily on the translation. Especially, now Arabic is not your language, right? So when it's not your language, first your mind goes on the wording. From the wording it moves on to the translation, to the tarjuma. It doesn't go to the meaning straight. If it's your own language, then it goes straight. But if it is not your own language, then first it goes to the wording. From the wording it goes to the translation. Right. So it will take time. So you won't be able to do that. So rather than that, just look at the wording of the Quran. That's all. Just move with the wording. Allah Ta'ala is listening, and Allah Ta'ala is observing, and He's watching, and I'm moving just with the wording of the Quran. Now you'll be able to move in that way. Then this thought will weaken down, then strengthen it again. It will come down and strengthen it again. It weakens down, and again for that moment, think of death or think of Jannat or Jahannam, and strengthen the thought again. Then you go into ruku. When you go into ruku, the simple thought you can engage your mind is that all perfection, everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala, Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. How you come to this conclusion? Because Subhan means purity. So when you talk of purity, you're saying that Allah Ta'ala is the purest. Main paaki bayan karta hu. Paaki bayan karta hu apne Rabb ki. So He is the purest. When you say He is purest, what do you mean? In other words, there is not an iota of any deficiency in Allah Pak. And the rest of the creation, there is some deficiency. They live, they die, they get sick, they come right. They got needs, they're dependent. And Allah Ta'ala is free above everything else. He doesn't require anything. So the highest level of purity, the highest purity belongs to Allah Ta'ala alone, exclusive with Him. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Now your mind will want to engage in discussions. And every time I'm reading Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, I just think the same thing. So yeah, you must think the same thing. See, the mind, it wants to move always. It wants to move always. So you have to explain the mind, like certain things you follow routine, right? Clothes, you wear same type again. You wear same clothes. One day you'll say, now, hey, today now, must wear something completely different. Wear one sari, marai, run around. Will you say that? You won't say that. You won't say, no, let me wear a wedding dress and go. You won't say that. You still wear the same kurta, same topi, same thing. Certain things in this world, you follow a routine. Morning must have tea, right? Must have tea and toast, right? must have it every day. Without that, you can't, your mind can't function. So you explain your mind, no. Certain things, standard, must have it. You can't do without it. Every day you must sleep also, right? And for sleeping, you must have a bed. So if you explain your mind, now you have to have a bed. So if you say, no, there must be a change in everything now, then what you mustn't sleep then. Then the mind says you want to relax. No, you relax all the years you relax now. Why are you relaxing again today? Just hang on now. Today just take on rope and just hang. So no, these are standards. Standard has to be followed. So like that standard has to be followed. So this is a standard you must just follow. Just say, Allah, you are the purest. You are free from all deficiency. Again, you're saying it 20 times, 50 times, million times, you say it. And when you say it, when you are registering like this, then you will begin to see the beauty in it. You see, the plant trees needs some type of nutrition for its growth, right? Same nutrition, same manure, and same water. You need milk. That milk also will be produced in the same manner. Farmer will provide to Clover Dairy. Clover Dairy will then will process that milk. They'll bottle it and they'll sell it to you. So every day, same process, same thing you're going to go through. And they also will go through the same. So you just read that Subhanallah Rabbi al-Azim. And you think that's a standard that my body needs. I can't avoid this. It's a standard my body needs. So I must just follow that standard. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Same. Then you say, Rabbana lakal hamd. Allah Ta'ala, praise belong to you. In other words, when you are pure, and you have no blemish, you have no stain against you, obviously, you will be worthy of all praise. Right? When you are pure, completely pure, right? Then definitely you will be worthy of all praise. And we can't be pure, we can't be praiseworthy because we'll always have a stain against us. Big stain, small stain, small problem, big problem, we'll have something or the other. That's why every namaz, Rabbana zalamna, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, all the time you want to read. So, Allah Ta'ala, you are free of all stain, therefore you are worthy of all praise. And again you'll say the same thing. And let your mind again go on, Allah Ta'ala, all praise is yours. Allah Ta'ala, praise be to you, hamd and ta'rif, to the extent that is pleasing to you. Allah Ta'ala, you must be pleased with it. Now you'll see that namaz will get some life. The namaz will have some meaning. The namaz, you will experience some type of enjoyment in the namaz. Then you won't want to just run through that namaz. Now you're getting some enjoyment in that namaz. But for that you have to invest. In everything you invest and you get a return. Now that is in your namaz. When your namaz is over, it doesn't mean now that your mind is free to think in any direction. I explained early on, we think that the mind is a dumping yard. Anything you got, just going to dump it in the mind. Not a dumping yard. Right? So you train it in one direction. Allah is watching. And in order to train it, you'll have to do certain things. For example, now you are sitting in the masjid, right? Allah Ta'ala's fazl and karam that we are sitting in the masjid. Then we think, alright, now these few days that I'm here, then how can I bring discipline to my mind? Some days ago, the ladies in the house was explaining them that one thing you can do very easily, right? You're sitting and reading Quran Sharif. Why don't you do this? That face in the direction of the Qibla, but in such a way that you can't see anybody, any movement. Because if you want to see any movement, then your recitation is going to be distracted. Your concentration is going to be affected. See, for example, I'm facing this direction and reciting, right? So there's going to be movement on this direction. Someone is coming, someone is going, the sarkhan is coming, the sarkhan is being lifted up. So my attention is going to be affected. But I'm facing this direction and I'm sitting right near the wall, the Qibla wall. Even I'm sitting here, there's going to be movement. And if I'm going to sit right near the Qibla wall, initially you may find it a little bit difficult. I am looking at the wall all the time. But as you get into the routines, you know, I'm getting something else here now. Your mind is just focused there. See, your mind is focused now, it's easier to get your concentration. You're not facing that wall, and you're facing elsewhere, then elsewhere there's going to be action, there's going to be movement. But the movement, your mind is all distracted, going this way, that way, coming, going, coming, going, coming, going. So you may be doing some zikr, but the zikr is being done. Why don't you get the maximum benefit out of the zikr? You are doing a zikr, so why don't you get the maximum out of it? That's the idea. You're doing the zikr, but you get the maximum out of it. You got that 5 minutes, so you say, all right, let me try and get the best out of it. Don't we think like that in our mundane lives, in our worldly lives? I got that half an hour, let me get the best out of it. I'm preparing the meals, so let me try and make it to the best of my satisfaction. This type of masala, that type of, let me braise the onions in this way or that, whatever. So you get the best finished. Right? So in the same manner, I've dedicated this few days for Allah Ta'ala, so let me get the best out of it. If I go right near that wall, whether it's namaz, whether it's zikr, whether it's tilawat, whether it's the night, whether it's the morning, and if I go near that wall, this is just an example, you see. One is in your cubicle and you're facing the Qibla, and one is when you are here in a central place, you are facing that wall right there in front. So then too, you'll be making zikr. Outside you'll be making zikr, and if you're facing right near that wall, right against that wall, facing that direction, then too you'll be making zikr. But the difference will be now, this will be an assistant, it will be a help for you to get a better level of concentration, right? A better degree of concentration. Right? If you are a journalist and you're writing an article, right? Then you need that focus of the mind. If there's a lot of movement somewhere, you can't. The mind is going and coming, going and coming. Right? You're making your tasbih. You're driving and you're making tasbih. MashaAllah, you get sawab for it. I won't say you don't get sawab for it. But be honest to yourself that you're writing on imtihan parcha, imtihan paper, then can you be driving and writing the paper? You can't write the paper, right? You're writing your books, you're writing, right? Accounts, writing. Can you be writing the books while you're driving the car and all that? You can't do it. You need the concentration. You've got the concentration and you're writing, now, you know, it's hands-on. You mean business, and you know what you are talking about. You're getting all these statements right. Everything is coming right. So in the same manner, now you've got that few days and you've got Allah Ta'ala. So you are in zikr and tasbih, but try and get a better quality of it. The quality is with the concentration. And the concentration, certain things you have to put in place in order to enhance that concentration. These people that talk of concentration, they say that the place that you are studying, be it in a room or whatever, then you don't need anything that will distract you. For example, now, it's a room and there's a lot of pictures in that room, right? One picture here, one frame here, and you're studying in that room. So time and again your mind is going to go to that picture, to that frame, and it's going to affect your concentration. So the easier way was, then just have a plain room. No frame, nothing. That place that you are reserving for your study, plain room. Don't have a very, very bright color. A little bit of a dull color, cream or something. See, now if you've got a bright color, then that also that affects your concentration. If you've got a dull color, that it's more easier to the eye, it's not aggressive to the eye, and it will enhance your concentration. So there are certain things that enhance, it improves your concentration. So what I'm getting at is that you've got a few days, already now, one third is already over, right? The 12th Tarawih is already over. You just got 2/3 left. Right? Now you need to see now, how can I build this concentration? How can I get more out of it? Time is short, and how can I get more out of it? And you will see, inshallah, that when you are doing it, you're dedicating yourself in that way, you'll get even more. You know, they say, you want the roza to pass very easily, then engage yourself in some work. You engage yourself. Don't keep looking at the watch. Looking at the watch, 5 o'clock is now, it's still, there's about 50 minutes left now. 5:05. Now the roza becomes very long. But you keep yourself engaged. Your concentration must be elsewhere. Don't put your concentration there. Put your concentration somewhere else. Then you see the roza is going very simply, it's going, it's moving. It's a cold day, for example. You think it's cold. It's feeling very, very cold. So you'll try feeling cold. But you keep yourself engaged, you'll feel that cold, that warmth and all that will not affect you. Hotter day to keep the roza becomes a simple thing because you engage in something. You know, your mind is occupied. Time is occupied. So you find the time is passing, roza is also kept, and you're moving quite comfortably. But now every 5 minutes, Seri time started now, 5:35 now, Seri ended, alright. Now still, it's only 6 o'clock still. Hey, now 6:05. How the time going to pass? It's 6:30. Hey, still must wait for another 12 hours. Then you know, still moving so slow, that time is moving so slow, it's walking, it's not even trotting. It's strolling away, the time is strolling, you know, 7 o'clock only. So definitely the time will go slowly. But if you keep yourself concentrated now, writing one kitab now, something, studying one kitab, reading Quran Sharif, like I say, face that wall. Don't do it like, you know, grudgingly. Now you're a student and the ustad told you, face that wall. No. Do it with love. Right? Do it with love, not grudgingly. I'm going to face the wall. Face the wall now, that's a grudgingly, right? You're going to feel like someone is imposing on you. You're going to do it yourself. Like you have to write something, right? Write an article. You're sitting here, will be distracted. But if you sit right in front, near the Qibla wall, you won't feel distracted. Easily you'll be just writing. And you'll find the flow of the thoughts are just coming easily, very, very comfortably. Don't you see people that are working on a computer, you know, they're only looking at that. Anything can happen, they're looking at that. You know? The concentration is just confined to that screen. The concentration is not roaming around. It's just confined. So they get better production. So this is out of namaz. So what I'm getting at is that we need to learn how to build this concentration, improve this concentration. The greater the concentration, the better the quality of your namaz. The better the quality in namaz, the better the quality out of namaz. Right? Now, when you have got that level of concentration, and you discipline your thought. See, your thought, you're disciplined. then you save yourself from a lot of unpleasantness and embarrassment. Your thought is disciplined, so you're thinking in a very disciplined way, in a refined way. So someone spoke to you in a very harsh manner, but because you have disciplined yourself, so you will have some understanding as to how to reply to him without creating more unpleasantness and without embarrassing yourself. How do I answer him? Right. In London, there was a parliament session going on, you see. Heated parliament session. So, one woman, member of parliament, she is saying one man, opposite party. So the discussion is going and this woman is saying that man, to both members of parliament, you know, had I been your wife, I would have put poison in your tea. So, he had a joke of it now. He said, yeah, had I been your husband, I would have drunk it. I would have drunken it. Otherwise, I would have been such a stupid person. Your husband is supposed to be such a stupid person that he will drink anything you give him. So he made a fool of her. See? So if you discipline yourself, you organize your thought, then you can achieve a lot. You can achieve a lot of things you can achieve without any unpleasantness, without hurt, without injury, without pain. But then we need to learn to how to discipline ourselves. You see, you discipline and you focus, you're disciplined, then you avoid accidents as well. One is accidents on the road. One is accidents with people. See, you're not disciplined, then you make accidents, argument, fight, quarrel. On the road, you're not disciplined, you make accidents. Won't you make accidents? You're not a disciplined person, you're not focused. You're not careful. You're reversing the car, accident. Moving, an accident. You got a speed ticket, you got a ticket for speeding. Why? Because you're not focused, you're not concentrating. But if you're concentrating, right, in a HIFS class, the Ustaz will tell you, look inside. Why are you looking around? Ustaz knows, if you're going to wander around, you can't pick it up, you can't get it. Oh, again and repeatedly you say, look inside. So that what they want is focus. So ibadat also requires some focus, some degree of focus, some degree of discipline. See? And the discipline, this is how it comes. So when you got that discipline and you got that focus, you avoid a lot of unpleasantness, accidents. Accidents, one is literal accidents, and one is accidents with people. You don't get ghabrat now, you know. Hey, how did he tell me this thing here? I didn't eat his father's money. Why is he telling me like this? We know that you're a very innocent person. You never eat anybody's father's money. But now think how to come out of this situation. In dunya mein aaye ho, you came to this world. So you will have problems. When you have this problem, how you must come out of it? Think of it. Think of how you must come out of it easily. Don't think of a way that you will add to your confusion. Think of a way how you'll come out. Rasulullah SAW, his Mubarak life was same thing. How to get people out of problems. He got a problem, how to get him out. How to look for easy solutions for people. Alright, this is a problem, I'll look for a solution. So in this way, you'll bring cheer to your mind. You will avoid frustration. You will have a correct direction. But all this comes with concentration. Now, that concentration that the kuffar will do will be only for worldly reasons. For worldly reasons. More money you'll get, more whatever. Yeah, you are doing it for Allah Ta'ala. Right? You are doing it for Allah Ta'ala. Because you know, with concentration, you'll get an improved quality. And doing anything good is called ihsan. Ihsan means to do it good. And you'll be able to do it good if there's some concentration in it. Two people got married, two sisters, you see, two brothers got married to two sisters. They're working in one plantation, so they will bring some herbs or whatever it is, right? They will bring it. So now the two sisters are preparing it. So the one sister, she, the husband is always complaining, hey, the same burgess is preparing, no taste, no color, you know, she's got no variety in life. And the other one, one day she's adds some masala, one day the preparation is slightly different, one day it's a different preparation. Of that same herbs, she made 10 different types of varieties, different varieties. So when you say ihsan, ihsan means to do something good. Right? Now, it will be able to do it good if there is concentration, if you focused. Right? So you're focusing on Allah Ta'ala, you'll bring it, you'll make a better quality, it'll be better, the finish will be better, Allah Ta'ala will be happy with it. So you're doing it not just for concentration purposes, but for the sake of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Your bayan is going, and you're concentrating, and you'll grasp the full. But the bayan is going, and you're looking this side, pigeon is flying this side, hey, must do something about the pigeons now, making too much gur 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 gur. So, what will happen then? That pigeon will carry on this gur gur. You need to understand yourself. If the pigeon, that will do its work. Whether you're doing your work or not, you must look at that. So you can't stop them. They will carry on their work. You think of yourself, okay, am I focused? So now you think how to build that focus. Now you're sitting here, for example, right? Waiting for the bayan or whatever. Hazrat Ramzan used to show us, you're waiting for the masjid to start. So those moments of the don't waste. And you look down, and you think of Allah Ta'ala watching. You're waiting for the masjid to start, right? So one is how to sit and talk. You know, it's vain talk. Right? We are only talking just to pass the time. Forget the talk. Rather, we invest the time in something more valuable. I think Allah Ta'ala is watching us. We've got that 5 minutes. Let's think of Allah Ta'ala. So to improve this, so in this few days that we got, now we try and improve that concentration. Don't let the mind deliberately go in different directions. I read namaz now, for example, suddenly your mind went, yeah, what I'm going to do Eid day? I'll sit, then you say, no, see how the nafs and shaitan will play with you. So Eid night now will make namaz. I'll make a lot of ibadat around it. Alright, mashallah. See, it was a good thought, right? But now look how shaitan will play with you. Alright, but Eid day after that, what must be after that? Yeah, we'll have some food and all that. Then we'll go and meet this khala here and that khala. No. Yeah, but that khala we didn't meet. How must we talk to that khala? Because that khala, we're not talking to her father. We're not talking to her husband for so many years, we're not talking to them. So, then you see, one thing will lead to them. Yeah, we're not talking, but it was his fault. You know, he started it off. He started that problem. We didn't start it off. He's at fault. See how the nafs is going to play with you. So leave all those thoughts. Just bring it on Allah Ta'ala. Don't make khala khala in your namaz. You just think of Allah Ta'ala. It'll move, bring it back to Allah Ta'ala. Don't go on khalas or chachas, anybody. Just go. It'll move on Eid day and anything. Just bring it back. Just bring it back. That I'm here in the masjid in front of Allah Ta'ala. But don't let it move. Don't let it run wild. Right? Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq nasib. It's Friday, try and increase your durood sharif.